Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jeff have his headphones in. You hear that music. It's Milli Vanilli. That's Pete Haley's walk-up
music.
It's
Pete Haley.
We need to just clarify something that just happened in the hallway real quick that was incredibly disturbing. Brian, did you hear the conversation between Jeff Walker and Matt Essick?
Essick, yeah.
We're walking down the hallway. Pretty innocuous. We know we got to get back. We have a radio show. We have a radio program to commence. What did that dude Matt say to you?
He walked up with a straight face, looked me dead in my eyes, and said, "You want to get laid?"
And I was like,
I was so thrown off.
He was reading your shirt.
Yeah, he was reading my shirt.
But your shirt says "Before I die."
Yeah, it says "Before I die."
That doesn't.
Yeah.
I saw Jeff's shirt earlier. I didn't have the same reaction. Listen, I just wanted to point out the scenario. Let's talk to Pete Haley now.
Chill.
Hey, Jeff elicits vibes, man. What can I say? Pete Haley, NBC Sports Washington, joins us now via the BetQL guest line presented by the BetQL Network. Wagertainment for every fan, morning, afternoon, and night. Get sports betting tips from the best in the game. Streaming now on Odyssey. Pedro, how do you do, buddy?
Well, now I guess I understand why Jeff was wondering what I was doing after your radio show this afternoon, and I'm glad I didn't come to plan.
Oh, my God. Stop that. Stop that.
Right. Yeah. Uncomfortable, to say the least. But go ahead, JP.
So we had a pretty good debate, I think. Actually, before we get to that, have you seen this Adrian Peterson versus Le'Veon Bell boxing match thing?
Yeah, I saw it last night when I was perusing the internet. And look, first of all, I think all celebrity fights are pretty pointless. I've never spent time watching any of them, and I haven't really watched boxing or fighting. Period. I don't know if it's because I am soft.
Fight in your life, so
yeah, I mean, you've never. Yes. Been, yeah.
Yes, I think it's because I cannot relate to it. Like, I can relate to basketball and golf. I've played it, so I understand. Fighting is so out of my wheelhouse that it just doesn't appeal to me. But for Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell, look, I get it. They want to get their money. They want to stay in the limelight. But it just sort of made me drop my shoulders and shake my head a little bit that these two former superstars of the most popular sport in the world are having to now subject themselves to corny combat sports to stay relevant.
How can – I mean, I'm putting it out there officially right now. I'm betting on Peterson in this thing. Bell is a significant favorite. It's minus 180 to plus 140 for AP.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked at the tail of the tape. I don't know if Bell's got longer arms or he's younger, so he has more spryness to his game.
He's 7 years younger, but they're about the same size.
The youth definitely helps. I mean, JP, the one thing we know when we were covering AP is when you shook his hand, it felt like your whole arm was about to be ripped out of its socket. So if you can just do that with a handshake, I can't imagine what he's capable of when it comes to wanting to knock out another person. So, look, I'll look for the Twitter clips when it's over, but I'm not going to spend much more time thinking about it after this conversation.
I'm weirdly very into it. Also, Nick Young is fighting someone named Blueface, so there's also that to look forward to.
The fact that Nick Young is fighting is a funny thing to me, Pete.
He doesn't strike me as a fighter.
I'd rather fight Nick Young than Adrian Peterson or Le'Veon Bell for sure.
Yeah, I still don't think that's a good place for you to start your fighting career, but you do you, man. All right, so I wanted to talk about a couple different things here. Where are you at the latest with Congress and subpoenas and all that?
Aside from fatigued and exhausted, I'm a little bit annoyed and just wanting this to get over with. So I guess that's the feelings that everybody has. It has been a bit of a change for me, though. Like, when I heard the word subpoena, I just assumed, okay, this is actually going somewhere, but now that I've seen the legal process or understood it and see that the two sides are at odds, I now get that the subpoena does not just guarantee any sort of justice or deposition, that Dan is not surprisingly trying to evade this thing as long as possible, and that his lawyers are conveniently out of town and Dan's still gallivanting around. So I know we probably have a long way to go until some actual progress happens, and even if that happens, the deposition will be quiet and private, so we wouldn't necessarily hear much about it. So I think I'm in a holding pattern. I've said what I thought about Dan's ownership and that I do think it comes to an end at some point, but I don't think any of the current stuff is pushing him closer to that point.
And you said you're getting like annoyed with it in a sense and tired of it. I think a lot of people are. Can this, if they keep going Congress, can they play themselves completely to the other side and make people just start not paying attention to them at all?
Definitely, and that's a shame because this is a story at its core that is worth paying attention to and caring very much about when it comes to employing people, employing women, and wanting them to have positive careers and good experiences and not have it be just the worst chapter of their lives. That is something that should be talked about and examined, but there's just so much of the sideshow antics that it distracts you from it, and eventually you just grow numb to all of the statements and all of the contradictory statements, and then this group saying this, and then another group texts or sends out an email a couple hours later just completely disagreeing with the first thing. So you do get numb, you do start turning your eyes away to something else. So I hope for the people who were affected allegedly, they do get some real tangible progress, real tangible consequences, but right now it feels like it is completely not that we are just competing, or the two sides are competing for the control of the narrative as opposed to actually results that will impact life.
Yeah, I agree. So let's switch to something that was much, much more fun. We recorded a podcast early this morning, and people should check it out, the Washington Football Talk podcast, where Pete has come up with his list of 9 X factors to make a difference for the Commanders this season. Now, start by explaining what constitutes an X factor to you and how you arrived at your list. We're talking with our friend Pete Haley, NBC Sports Washington, covers the Commanders. Go ahead, Pedro.
Yeah, so as I said on the pod, X factor, that term implies some sort of uncertainty. Like Terry McLaurin, Tressway, Cam Curl, I feel like we all know those guys are very productive, they're reliable, they're healthy, they're going to be around, and they're going to make this team better. So when I'm thinking about X factors, I'm thinking about guys with injury concerns or who disappointed last year, who haven't shown their full potential, who are coming from a new team, etc. So I came up with 9. Originally, it was going to be me, JP, and Mitch each coming up with 3. We decided that would be too confusing, so I just did 9 myself. And my top 5, I'll start there. I don't have Curtis Samuel in there. I put Samuel 7th and Jahan Dotson 8th. I think those
go
two
go from the top sort down.
Okay, yeah, I don't know why I said I do top 5 and then start talking about number 7 and 8. All right, number 9, and I'll say them quickly, and then B-Mitch can give his reactions at the end. Number 9 is Fedarian Mathis. Number 8, Jahan Dotson.
You can 7. Give us a sentence why.
Okay, Fedarian Mathis, 9. If he is a really good run stuffer, it makes the linebacker's job easier and potentially hides their weaknesses and gives depth to the D-line. Number 8, Jahan Dotson. He looks like a stud. If he actually is a stud, this offense has another receiver, and Terry gets some help. Curtis, number 7. If he's healthy, this offense has a completely new wrinkle to it. It's not just a receiver. It's a decoy. It's a running back. It's a jet sweep guy. They want to do a lot with him, and that'd be great if they actually could. Number 6, number 5, Jamin Davis. Number 4, and Jamin Davis is obvious.
Just stop for a second. Just take a deep breath. Collect your thoughts. Number 6, I wrote this down, dummy. I don't know how you didn't. Number 6, you had Logan Thomas.
Thank you. I have it on my phone, but I'm talking on my phone, and I don't want to go to speaker. Number 6, Logan Thomas. The injury, when does he come back, of course? Carson Wentz loves big body tight ends, has had some tremendous success with Ertz and Goddard in the past, and Logan's importance in the red zone can't be understated, so he would be really, really useful should he be healthy and back to what he was in 2020. 5, Jamin Davis. We all know what he should be. We have no idea if he actually can be that. Number 4, William Jackson. a guy that they paid a bunch of money to be a number one corner. Last year he was flagged all the time, looked confused, didn't make nearly the impact we wanted. But if he does, then this D-line doesn't need to get to the quarterback so much because Jackson can just blanket guys. And now my top three X-factors for the Commanders.
Now, hold on a second, because I think we get confused with what the Commanders pay for a number one versus what the market actually is for a number one. Mm-hmm. So William Jackson III this year is scheduled to make $13.5 million. It's a lot of money. That's not even top 10. Jair Alexander's making $21 million.
But that doesn't stop him from having to be able to play as the number one.
Certainly. But I think because we're like, oh, well, they signed this guy. He's their top paid corner. The expectation here needs to be that he's a number one. But when you throw terms out there like that, like you think of Marshawn Lattimore or Tre'Davious White. You know what I mean? Like, I think some of that is our own internal not recognizing that the team doesn't pay top dollar.
They didn't pay top dollar, but if they paid him more than anybody else, he needs to be playing better than anybody else.
Fair.
Yeah, and sure, maybe it's not Jackson Island, like a Revis Island. Maybe it's more of a peninsula, like they trust him to be a mostly shut down, not a completely shut down guy.
That would
but
be
I
my
think,
point. Like, I don't think just because he's the highest paid corner on the Commanders, we should assume that William Jackson III is a shut down corner. I think it's unfair to a dude like Xavier
but
Howard.
But I think we should, because he was a guy that was very good in Cincinnati as a man-to-man receiver. I mean, defensive back, and they brought him in, they played him zone all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Then
yeah,
when they went man-to-man, he still didn't do it then either.
I think there's so much swirling around him. He also got hurt a couple times last year. So the scheme fit, the injuries, can he survive outside of Cincinnati, et cetera. All right, my top three pretty important guys here. Montez Sweat, number three. We all talk about Montez Sweat as if he's arrived. He hasn't fully arrived yet. He only has a career high of 9 sacks, and he was injured and had some family problems and COVID issues last year. He needs to be that bookend. The other bookend across from him, Chase Young, is my number two biggest X factor. Rookie of the year in 2020, did basically nothing and tore his ACL in 2021. That's not news to anybody. And number one, which is where JP and I disagreed, weirdly enough, I thought this was just the lock of the year, Carson Wentz, quarterback from a new team. He's got a lot of talent, and everybody seems to hate him regardless. And if he's good, this team could really surprise some folks. And if he's bad, like I said on the podcast, nobody's going to be paying that much attention past about the halfway point of October. But JP thinks Carson just belongs on his own list, I think, which I get. But that doesn't mean he's not the number one X factor this season.
He's an X factor because if Carson Wentz doesn't work, this whole thing is a sham.
Yeah, nothing else matters if Carson
having those receivers and all those people there means absolutely nothing.
Yes.
I totally agree. Yes. But what I agree with all that, right? But in my mind, when I hear X factor, it is what is somebody unexpected that can make a season change? And I think when you talk about the quarterback position in the NFL, there's maybe 8-10 sure things. Like
maybe, but this
like
team has
Kirk Cousins is the biggest X factor for the Vikings, but we know Kirk's at least going to be pretty good.
Yeah, but this team has been in the quarterback abyss for a long time.
Sure.
And then they went out and they said they had to get a quarterback. And they went and got him. If he doesn't work, that's a hell of an X factor.
Yeah, I think JP countered that, Brian, because I posted the same point to him, was that he feels like he could write down Carson Wentz's stat line right now and be pretty confident in that. Well, I'm not as confident. And even if he just reached those baseline numbers, which JP had about 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, that's a massive improvement for this team. God forbid he does something even better than that. Then we might have a team that makes the playoffs and threatens some people. But if there is no baseline, if he does kind of collapse and get hurt or go back to 2020 Carson, where he throws more interceptions than touchdowns, then, yeah, the house of cards is collapsing. And there's no hope for anybody else, and you guys are going to be taking calls about firing Ron quicker than you could ever imagine.
2 years ago, this team, now granted they went 7-9 and won a down division, but the defense was good enough that they overcome poor quarterback play. So, like, the suggestion that even last year, Heinicke was a fun story and played pretty well at times, but they were in the playoff hunt week 16 with poor quarterback play. Like, the suggestion that, well, if it goes poorly for Wentz, they're done. There's recent history that suggests otherwise.
But that's a whole new thing, JP. When they won the division, the defense played out this world. last year, I don't think you can say that the defense played anywhere close to what they did the year before.
Nowhere close.
And offensively, they were being seen like a lot of teams. They were coming into this thing and saying, oh, whatever. Then all of a sudden, Heinicke was doing some things and made teams begin to work. But I told you all, give them 4 to 6 weeks, and then they're going to start figuring them out. And they did figure them out.
You did. You nailed
it. But ultimately, what if Carson Wentz comes in and doesn't play well? I think the story is bigger than just what they do this year, because that's the guy you went after.
That's true.
So now you're right back at the quarterback, because they didn't give him an extension. They already trying to get out of that deal and go somewhere else if he doesn't play well. So you are now starting to bring more things into it. So it's not as – this is – him playing well is bigger than just the season.
I agree. I don't like to be bombastic.
I agree. But that's why kind of my point would be, like, the Carson Wentz experiment, whatever it is like it's its own category. And then there's X factors that can help you get from 7 wins to 9 wins. Like I think a healthy J.D. McKissic makes a huge difference. I think if Chase Young can get back to his rookie year, makes a huge difference. Now, you could argue – maybe it's a dumb semantic argument. I don't know.
You said that Carson Wentz has the big ball. Taylor Heinicke was hesitant on throwing it. Carson Wentz throws the ball, get out of the hand real quick, and those little quick passes, they can go. That's an X factor. Because – If it was because the quarterback was hesitant last year, and now you get a quarterback this year that's not hesitant, and he can do all the things that he's shown he's physically capable of doing, that should make a hell of a difference.
I agree with you there.
Yeah, JP, I think it's weird semantics by you. I get it that maybe it's just not sexy to top the list with the quarterback because it's mostly obvious, but when I said he was number one and you sort of pushed back or just didn't really jive with me, I was shocked. I thought it would be like telling you, you know, 7-Eleven is one of the convenience stores, and golf is fun. We would just agree and move on to the rest of our lives. And I was pretty shocked that you didn't see it with me.
Here's my point, though, if I may. Let's just go through NFL divisions real quick, okay? In the AFC East, the only cemented quarterback is Josh Allen. The other three teams in the East, their biggest question mark is a quarterback. In the AFC South, the entire division, the biggest question mark is quarterback. In the AFC North, they're close to stacked because you got Burrow and you got Lamar. And maybe you got Deshaun, but that's still an X factor. The West is the only division with four cemented quarterbacks in Mahomes, Carr, Herbert, Wilson. You get to the East, Jalen Hurts is still the biggest X factor for the Eagles. Like, you get to the South, Tom Brady's the only sure thing. You get to the North, Rodgers, the only sure thing. There just aren't enough quarterbacks. So to say that they're the X factors, they're the X factors on 70% of the NFL.
But you're talking about all those teams. This is the Washington Commanders. When the hell is they have a legitimate quarterback that was at Eston Stone? And you have a guy you said it, just like I said, he's on his third team in 3 years.
Third team in 3 years.
Okay. If he's not an X factor, then I don't know what the hell is.
Yep.
To be honest with
you. If he's not an X factor, then no one is.
There's too many things surrounding him and that position to not say he's an X factor.
That's fair. I go back and forth on it. Is he the biggest question mark, X factor? Absolutely. Absolutely. And could reputations be made or broken on this?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Because you told us for months, you told us for years this was the plan. We got to find a guy. We got our guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just think his category is just so massive that it's its own entity. And then if you're talking about X factors that, like, Jamin Davis, to me, is a huge X factor. If he actually shows up and can be this sideline-to-sideline linebacker that plays with his hair on fire and all these things, that could have a breakthrough for the defense. I think offensively, and maybe people disagree with me here, I think Carson Wentz is going to come out, complete about 63% of his passes, throw for 4,000 yards, and have a more or less 2-to-1 TD to INT ratio.
But that wouldn't make a difference on this football team?
Of course it would.
So that's an X factor. I mean, he's at a position that we considered on everybody, but on this football team, that's the next fact.
So do you think Carson and then Chase 1 and 2, no questions asked, and then after that is up for debate?
I think Carson legitimately is 1 because Carson is going to make this team go where it needs to go.
Or not. Yeah.
And then when you flip it over to Chase, you want to get him back to what his rookie form was. If he can get back to that and elevate on his sack total and his – impact that he was having in the backfield, that's going to be a hell of a difference too. Because in this game of football with all the passing going on, it's not the interior guys that make a difference, unless it's Aaron Donald. It's the outside guys that are rushing the quarterback on a consistent basis.
It's a fun exercise, Pete. We appreciate it, buddy.
Yes, thank you. Just couldn't find room on my list for Corn Elder, but we'll see how he does. Thank you for having me.
He is not. He's a Y factor.
I just saw this tweet from Jamal. He says, so Pro Football Focus put out their top 10 secondaries for the fall. The Bengals come in 10th, and Jamal says, Bengals lose William Jackson one year and become a projected top 10 secondary the next.
Awkward.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Pete. We'll talk to you soon, bud.
Yep. See you guys. Bye.
Hey, I have those clothes for you if you want to come pick them up. Now, I'm going to open up the phone lines. MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. When you talk about the biggest X factors for the Commanders, is it so obvious that it's Carson Wentz that the rest of the discussion doesn't matter? Are there other players that recognize as the biggest X factor for this team? Who are they? Who's your biggest X factor? Where does Chase Young rank? Where does Montez Sweat rank? I believe J.D. McKissic, if you look at games in which he played in versus didn't, two of the most impactful players in wins and losses over the last few seasons, J.D. McKissic and Brandon Scherff, and one of them's playing in Jacksonville now. Phone lines are open. Hit us up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.